This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Guests appear on the Superbook Sports phone line. Superbook Sports, now open with better odds and favorable prices. With Jason and John, live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Topps Barbecue is the best barbecue in Memphis. I saw our man Melvin compared Topps to, I want to say, Bob Pettit. Yeah. That
white center?
Well, they said it's just been, it was like the OG, right? Topps is like the OG of barbecue. Don't forget it. But not only are they the OG, they're still doing it better than anybody else. Topps is timeless. And Bob Pettit is still with us, just so you know.
Didn't say we'd lost him.
Okay, I wanted to be clear about that. He's 90. He's still going. He's still kicking. Yeah. Going strong. Just like Topps. Topps got the fire braised chicken sandwich you can have now. They're serving breakfast, best barbecue, smoked bologna. Go to Topps today.
See, I would compare Topps more to Bill Russell, perennial champion. Champion. Sorry? Yes. Yes, we know that.
Okay, just making sure.
But top 70 years, still smoking, has been a champion, and year after year, what do? They're voted best burger. They've got the best barbecue in town. I was listening to Jeffrey Wright earlier talking about barbecue. Get the top sampler. Yeah, he knows, and you should know too by now. And what you might not have known is that they're doing breakfast now. For a long time, grew up most of my life, I thought Tops for lunch and Tops for dinner. Well, now you can do Tops for breakfast. You'll love the combos. Got a great hash brown. Y'all know I'm a hash brown connoisseur. And you'll love the maple syrup-infused waffle that you can they make nice and clean with the powdered sugar. You can eat it nice on the way to work. Won't get your hands all messy. You'll absolutely love it. So start thinking Tops for breakfast as well. Innovation, baby. Tops Barbecue, 70 years and still smoking.
All right. Sweet 16 kicks off tomorrow. And so we're going to do a little predictive modeling here. How's your bracket? Did you fill out a bracket?
I did one on ESPN.
Okay, and what that looking like?
It's dead because my champ was Arizona. Okay. As you know, I was pulling hard for Seth Jr.
Yeah.
You talk about opportunity lost there too.
Oh, yeah, super sick.
Them sick, Purdue sick, but yeah, Arizona, they were feeling good at that point.
Yeah, and Kirk Creasy just transferred from Arizona.
I don't care about little Kerr. Yeah.
I mean, I like Kerr.
This was Seth's last year, though. So
right.
You needed to cash in.
And Tubelis. Tubelis has gone to the league, so.
And he is a stud.
He is, for sure.
It's all about footwork with him.
Oh, yeah.
Because the body doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah.
It's he gets you with his feet.
Yep.
And getting behind you with that base.
Yeah, he's a lottery pick for sure. All right, let's go through it here. Even though, I mean, hell, you couldn't pick your nose. Michigan State and Kansas State will kick things off tomorrow for the rights to the Elite Eight. It had gotten all the way up to Michigan State -2, been bought back down a little bit to 1.5. Michigan State is the favorite. What do you expect in this one?
Tang Mang. And I'm going to jinx you here. We know that you've got Kansas State to win the region.
Yes.
So I'm going to pick them.
It is a jinx.
I'm going to jump on with you here.
Yes.
And would probably cost you the money.
Yes.
I love Jerome Tang. You know why? Because Norton Hearn's been telling me about him for years.
Hard not to like him, honestly.
Since assistant days at Baylor, been a stud. And yep. Now you see him. He's got a bunch of dogs. And, man, do they play hard for him.
Yeah, Mr. New York City, Marquise Noel. Going
stud.
Back to Madison Square.
Stud.
mean, I kind of like him, man. I'm not going to bet him because I have so much liability on him to win the Final Four anyway.
Yep.
So, like, just in case, I don't mind talking about it because it doesn't really matter in the end.
You're
scared. Win or lose.
You're scared because Michigan State's so physical.
Yes, and it's Izzo. And I thought Kansas State really struggled with the physicality of Shibue. I mean, they did.
Everybody's going to struggle with Shibue.
True. Everybody's going to struggle with Michigan State's physicality. Before the tournament started, the night before the tournament started, I put $250 on Kansas State to make the Final Four.
Mm-hmm. Win the region.
That would pay out $4,000.
He really just needs to get through this game,
and then I got some decisions to make.
Yeah,
right.
If
Kansas State finds a way to win tomorrow, then I can essentially guarantee myself $2,000
on a $250.
If I want to go that route, you know,
$250 was the original bet.
Yeah,
yeah. See, I know what me and Brad do. Well, I don't know though, because you've been going. He's been riding some out, hadn't he?
What do you got? You got anything still?
No, didn't you ride some out in a
Bain? Wasn't it? Was like Bane most improved?
I forget. My bets are so low; they're not in the $4,000 range.
Well,
I thought you rode one out when you had a chance to not. I thought playoffs or something he had.
It might have been for Grizzlies.
It was something.
Maybe so.
It was like Grizzlies Western Conference, I think, or something like that. But
so we both
nothing
would tap
like
out.
John is experiencing, and for John, I would just say I hope they weren't win. First of all, for you,
thank you.
I really do, and I love Tang. I would tap out though after 8.
I think, why
push it? If you're two in and it's Kansas State.
Right.
Winning a couple thousand doesn't have the same John than it does for you and me.
You know.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
It just depends on.
I don't even pay the water bill out of Southwind.
I need to see who wins between Tennessee and FAU, right? But Tennessee doesn't scare me. To some crazy degree without Ziegler,
so I
might just roll.
About their defense.
At the end of the day, it's just $250, right? Like, I got a nice fun sweat out of it. Like, whatever. It's already down. It's already gone from +1,500 to +350. So
that's crazy. The
value that I've already built in, right?
You got them at the right time.
Has paid for itself. So we'll see. Anyway, Michigan State.
I like Kansas State
at 5:30.
They're tough too, and they're skilled.
Arkansas, UConn. UConn -4 over Arkansas.
Ooh.
You and I discussed this before the show. I'm just going with Muss.
Yep.
Arkansas got more
to win outright.
Yeah.
You think Arkansas is beating UConn?
Yeah, I think it'll be close.
Okay.
I wouldn't mess with that 4.
If you're UConn, you wouldn't lay the 4. Mm. Okay. Does FAU have any shot against Tennessee, the number 1 3-point defense in the world?
No. Tennessee going to do what Memphis should have. Bust them in the mouth. Get physical with them. They're finesse. All of them shoot threes, everything else. I got to give it to them. They were rebounding their tails off downstream. Memphis couldn't get a rebound. Tennessee, it's going to be a different level of physicality. Let's be real.
Yeah. Here's an interesting one. Gonzaga, UCLA.
You don't sound like you're with me on that. Sound like you like Dusty May.
I'm not laying 5.5 with Tennessee.
I hear you.
I'm not laying. I mean, I'm not saying Tennessee doesn't win, but I'm not laying 5.5.
Yeah.
I'm just not. Like, I think they probably do.
That is a big number.
Move on, but I just don't want to lay 3.5. No way.
All right, what else we got?
Gonzaga, UCLA. UCLA -1.5.
Just think I like Zaga here. I think they're flying under the radar.
I do, too.
And then UCLA, who's my defensive guy that's going to
Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? I kind of do too. I don't know. It feels weird. It's all about. It is funny. Like it's shaped by, is Gonzaga the dog or the favorite, isn't it? Like it feels like they play a lot worse when they're the favorite.
Yeah.
When they're the overwhelming favorite.
Yeah.
And then when they're sort of in this position, you know, it's a lot easier. But I think this could be the game where the front court injuries catch up, right, to UCLA.
Yes.
And Timmy goes off. He did it against TCU, and they're physical. Run through these here real quick. Alabama, San Diego State, Bama -7.5.
Easy street all the way to the final for Bama. They roll.
Houston -7 against Miami.
-7?
Yeah, Randolph Childress on Field 68 last night said Miami's about to hang 80 on Houston. That would be the first time ever this season.
Yeesh, I don't like that number. I wouldn't lay that 7.
Yeah.
But I like old Kelvin to push through.
Houston's
here.
Not losing to Miami.
I'm good enough with Sasser what I saw the last game.
Yeah.
His health.
This is the most important game of the weekend. Princeton and Creighton.
Oh, yeah.
Creighton's -10. Creighton was a top 5 team in the preseason.
Yeah.
Is this one of those things where it's like people have forgotten and now all of a sudden they're going to get to a Final Four?
double-digit win, though, for Creighton?
Yeah.
I don't know, bro.
Creighton's winning. I just don't know if they can cover the 10.
Exactly.
I mean Princeton plus 10, but
yeah.
Creighton wins. And then finally, Xavier and Texas. Texas minus 4.
Give me Xavier and the 4.
Yeah.
That's happening here.
You think they went outright?
I don't know about that.
Okay.
Okay.
You're trying to get the most value out of me.
Oh, yeah. Mm-mm. All right. No. So your Sweet 16 is Texas, Creighton, Houston, Bama, Zaga, Tennessee, Arkansas, Kansas State.
That's my 8.
That's your 8. Yeah. Interesting.
I think we were on the same page about that.
For the most part, yeah. I think I would agree. I mean, I think, like, could San Diego State cover 7.5? I think possibly, yeah. But I just don't think they can beat them. But who knows? Maybe they bring it. Maybe they punch them in the mouth the way they haven't been so far this year. It'll be a great, great weekend of college basketball action. We'll come back. We'll talk to Brian Windhorst on the other side, get his thoughts on Ja Morant, on the Grizzlies, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This March, protect yourself against upsets with Bracket Parlay Insurance. You could sure use it with all these upsets. You can do it on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, all customers can get up to $25 back each day if your parlay of 3 legs or more falls 1 leg short. And the great thing about FanDuel is if you're a beginner, they got a bunch of pre-built parlays in there for you. Nice little way to dip your toe in the water with a parlay. You know, you can turn a small bet into a slam dunk. And with cash out, you're calling the shots. You can close out your bet whenever you want before the game is over. Just sign into FanDuel Sportsbook on your account, or you can go to FanDuel.com/JSmith and sign up today. Again, that's FanDuel.com/JSmith. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, and, of course, official sportsbook partner of 929 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus is issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max bonus bet, $25 per day, unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Slow down, baby. Brian Windhorst covers the NBA for ESPN. He joins us now. Brian, as always, appreciate the time. Ja Morant, it sounds as if he is going to make his return tonight to the Memphis Grizzlies. Just your perspective on how this was handled and what the expectation for Ja should be going forward with the Grizz.
I mean, my expectation is that he's going to be great because, you know, no matter what's happened off the court, his on-court play has always been stellar. And so, I mean, I assume some rust because you don't play for 3 weeks or whatever it is. That's going to happen in any for anybody. But the thing about Ja and my suspicion, I don't live in Memphis. I don't go to a lot of Grizzlies games. But my suspicion is the reason that this kept developing is because Ja's performance never suffered. And I mean, so from a, if you're a fan of the Grizzlies, you're worried about Ja long-term. You want to make sure he's okay. And you want him to be a part of the Grizzlies and performing at a high level, but you've never been worried about his performance. So, I mean, I can't predict the future, but I would expect Ja to hit the ground running and be as good as ever. And, you know, the off-court stuff you hope gets stabilized because you want him to be a star for many years into the future.
Do you have any indication, Brian, how Nike felt about all of this?
Yeah, but I'm not going to get into it. You know, I've talked to some people who are involved with Ja off the court, but I think there's nothing that's been damaged that can't be restored. I think if anything, I would look at this as sort of a strike two situation. Strike one being the investigation happened after the Pacers game, the suspension being strike two. And, you know, if there's anything that happens again in the future, I think there will be more serious consequences. But I think that everybody could weather this as long as we don't see some other situation develop.
Has it cost him a spot on the All-NBA teams
Brian, because we know that has obviously financial, huge financial incentive for Joffe. He does make one of the three teams. What do you think at this point for him? He's played 53 games.
Yeah, I thought he was a very strong. I mean, I don't want to say after 50 games that someone is a lock, but if the vote had been taken the day, you know, after that game that night, he'd have made it. You know, he was second team all NBA last year, and he essentially had numbers that were as good or better in about the same game. So, I mean, I can't speak for the Grizzlies front office, but I'll bet that they had figured they were going to pay that $39 million bonus, that when they were doing their tracking, that he was going to get the money. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think all voters kind of look at things differently. You know, there's only 100 voters. So on one hand, it's a small group. And on the other hand, you know, if just a small section is, votes a certain way, it can swing a vote. The other thing is that the guard, the guard voting this year is much tighter than, let's say, the forward voting because of a bunch of injuries to forwards, you know, guys like Durant, LeBron, you know, Kawhi hasn't played as many games. Anthony Davis hasn't played as many games. The forwards, there's a lot more space. The guards, it's tight. There are other years where that's reversed. And so even if nothing had happened, I think there would have been strong competition amongst all the guards. So now you're going to just get into a situation where voters are going to have to make a choice. And look, the season isn't over. You know, the Grizzlies are playing very well right now. They stabilized very nicely over the last couple of weeks. They have a terrific opportunity with two games in a row here against one of the league's worst teams to really send a message, to really, get going on the positive track again, reestablish the number two seed, which they've now just put their nose back out in front of the Kings because the Kings have had a couple of losses. And if Ja is a big part of that, you know, I don't see any reason why he can't, establish himself as that. I remember now, look, this isn't the same class of voters, but I remember back in 2006-07 time, Carmelo Anthony got suspended for 15 games for a fight that he had, and he made the All-NBA team that year. So I don't think it necessarily rules him out, but I do think because of a very competitive field that bonus is no longer assumed, and it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. It's not a simple situation.
You mentioned it. I mean, in terms of the team itself, they have played really well. They finished 6-3 here without Ja Morant, and they did get back into second place, 1.5 up on Sacramento. When you're forecasting the West, Brian, on into the playoffs, how many teams legitimately do you consider as champ possibilities in terms of winning the league, or excuse me, winning the conference and coming out of the West?
10. I've never seen a conference like this in my 20 years covering the league. And I think you shouldn't mistake the fact that it's tightly packed for that it's tightly competitive. I actually think it's maybe the weakest the West has been top to bottom in the 20 years I've been covering the league. A bunch of these teams are heavily flawed. And even if you look at a team like the Kings, who's having kind of a magical season, they're a bottom five defensive team. You look at the Grizzlies, who have a lot going for them. They're emotionally all over the place. I don't know whether you can trust them. I don't know whether Dylan Brooks can get through a series without getting suspended because of his behavior. How many times is Dylan Brooks going to get suspended this year? You know, if he gets suspended a bunch of times in the regular season, am I just going to assume everything's going to be A-okay through the playoffs? How do I know he's not going to get technical fouls all the way through the playoffs and start getting suspended for conference finals games? So they have their issues. Denver, their best player, can be absolutely attacked on defense. I know he's gotten better, but he can absolutely be attacked. That is a weak spot that they have to manage. And then you look at all of those teams, 4 through 10, they all could go on 10-game winning streaks or all lose 7 of the next 8. It's a very, very scattered conference. And that's why you've got a team like the Lakers, who laughably would be considered to do anything under 500 70 games into the season. I mean, what kind of nonsense is that? A team that's under 500 70 games into a season could have a real conversation with you about doing anything in the postseason. Well, they could. because if they get LeBron back and he's okay, and that's a big if, and Anthony Davis is okay, and they have a couple of hot shooting games in the right time, like the teams ahead of them aren't scary relative to the normal things that you would see at the top of the West. So I think it's an absolute crapshoot. I think you'd be insane to make bets on any of these Western Conference teams other than short term, because you know you can't trust any of them. And I guess it should make for a intriguing Western Conference playoffs, if not a very high level of play Western Conference playoffs.
Yeah, we came into this season, Brian, you touched on Dylan, asking that question. This would be the season you find out whether this team needs him moving on, right? Because he is part so much a part of the DNA with the getting under the skin, the what they do defensively. But you've reached a point now where, you know, you've got a top three, obviously, that you're going to have to pay. Bane's going to have to get paid soon. Have we come to an answer, Brian? Can you trust Dylan Brooks enough going forward? Is he efficient enough as a fourth option on offense, even with that defense up and down, that you decide as a franchise, yes, we do want to do? We know there were the reports that they tried to go after OG and Mikal Bridges. Would you say that question's been answered on whether you move on with Dylan Brooks?
I mean, he's a really – they love him, right? The team loves him. I'm sure the fans love him, you know. I don't know.
It's a love-hate thing, I would say. It's a love-hate thing with the fans. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing about it is that he's not easily replaceable. You know, that's the thing. You know, I think some fans, you know, if you're a big NBA fan, you understand this isn't true. But, you know, some people equate free agency. They think about football or baseball first. And they think, oh, okay, you lose a player, you can just go out and go get another player. That's not the way it works. If you reach a certain spot on the continuum, which is where the Grizzlies are, if you lose a player like Dylan, you aren't going to necessarily have the cap space, because Jaws money comes on the books starting July 1st. You know, they had salary cap space last summer, and you know they elected not to go after free agents, which I get. I mean, I don't necessarily think that free agency is something Memphis should do. I mean, they dipped their toe in that water with Chandler Parsons and they got totally burned. So I can see why they wouldn't go that route. And by the way, re-signing Tyus was an excellent decision. They got him on an excellent contract. So, you know, you may have to focus on retaining Dylan to quote unquote, keep the asset. And I don't like to refer to players as assets, but when you look at team building, it's unavoidable, because you have to look at sort of players that are not your stars as kind of salary slots. You know, if you want OG Anunoby, you don't get him maybe by not keeping Dylan Brooks. Maybe you later trade Dylan Brooks for OG Anunoby. You know, maybe that happens in 6 months. Maybe it never happens. But if you let him walk out the door, you're probably going to be hurt. So I think, you know, looking at it from like a cold, you know, calculated roster management perspective, your goal with Dylan is to retain him on a contract that would not turn off another team. With another team, if you came to them and said, hey, we want to trade Dylan and maybe, you know, a first round pick or two for this player, the other team wouldn't say, well, we don't want that player and we don't want that player with that contract. So, and that's why the Jaw thing is fascinating, because, you know, if Jaw hits the bonus, you know, he makes $7 million more next year. And, you know, the salary cap is headed towards $130 million. You know, $7 million is a fraction of it. But the difference between maybe having that $7 million and not may be the difference between being able to pay Dylan Brooks and then maybe still being able to go sign another free agent, you know, and on the mid-level. Because, you know, long story short, if you go into the tax, which they might go into, you have less options on certain things. It'll be very, I'm sure the Grizzlies will be paying very, very close attention to that All-NBA announcement, not just because of what they pay Ja, but because of how it'll affect their potential off-season maneuvers, particularly the Dylan negotiations.
We're talking to Brian Windhorst, NBA insider for ESPN. On to the rest of the league, Brian, there was a time where, you know, being here in Memphis and obviously wanting the Grizzlies to advance as far as possible, I was saying do whatever you can to avoid a first-round matchup with the Golden State Warriors. And now I don't find myself feeling that way. I don't find myself fearing Golden State, mostly because of the way that they perform on the road. When you diagnose what's different about them, what is it?
Man, again, we're in unprecedented times here. I've never seen a team operate like this, because when you watch them at home, they are an excellent defensive team. And, you know, for all this, you know, we are in the most prolific offensive season that we have seen in really 50 or 60 years. And I don't even know how you reconcile the way the game was played in 1962 when Wilt averaged 50 points a game. I have no idea how it was played then, but we are seeing basically the most prolific offensive season since that time. And so when you see teams score incredible amounts of points, and like you watch how easy teams generate shots, you know, you can be like, well, forget about defense. This is a straight out, you know, scoring, you know, it's a race to score. And so many games are basically shootouts. And I can see how people would fall into that and think that's the way it is. But that's not what my experience level in basketball tells me. My experience says when we get to the playoffs that the teams that get stops are the teams that are going to matter. And last year, and we're not talking about 2010, we're talking about 2022, the Celtics and the Warriors were two of the top three defensive teams in the league. The two teams that were sitting there at the end were the two of the top three defensive teams in the league. So my experience says you got to be able to defend, right? So now we look at the Warriors. Well, at home, they're the number three defense. That is very similar to the team that they were last year. And so I look at them at home and I go, yep, that's what you got to have. By the way, the Grizzlies are number two. If you want to create a reason why the Grizzlies are going to win the Western Conference, none of the other Western teams are even in the top five or six. I think Phoenix is closest. I think they're seventh, and the Grizzlies are two. The Grizzlies are far and away the best defensive team in the Western Conference and have been since the start of the season. And if you were presenting a case about why the Grizzlies would win and you started with that, I would listen to you. Here we have the Warriors. I think they're number three at home. On the road, they're like 25th. I've never seen anything like this, because the one thing that we know about basketball, if you spend any time in your life watching basketball, defense is what travels. You can't necessarily count on your seventh man to score 15 points in a road playoff game. You can't count on your team to be hot from three-point shooting, which is so important in the NBA, in multiple road playoff games. But the reason defense is so important in the playoffs is because typically defense travels. If you have good defensive habits, they travel. This Warriors team blows that all up, blows it all up. It you know, the data and the eye test both violate what you know about the game. So I have to sit here and tell you that strictly looking at them, I can't take a team that has eight road wins in March seriously as a team that can win four playoff rounds, where they would be almost certainly going to be have home court in any of those rounds. But then I look at the way they play defense at home and say, is this just a championship team that doesn't care about being on the road? And so I think they're incredibly dangerous, especially if they get Wiggins back. If they don't get Wiggins back, it's a huge ask. And I don't even know if they get Wiggins back what his situation is going to be in. That's a huge factor. You know, it's almost like an injury where we just don't know whether a player can come back or not. But I have to fear them. But at the same time, I could understand, you know, you could build me the case they're not getting out of the first round, and I would have a hard time proving to you, other than just leaning on history, that they could do it.
How about the East, Brian? If you're riding with a horse right now, who is it?
Well, the three best teams in the league, in my opinion, are in the East. Mm-hmm. I think it's Philly, Boston, and Milwaukee, and then there's a gulf, and then we can start talking about the other teams. And I also think in the East there's a pretty significant difference between the three-team Philly and the four-team Cleveland. I think there's a gulf there. So to me, getting the one seed in the East is enormous, because the difference between being one and two, some years it doesn't matter that much. This year it matters a ton. You know, I could argue that it doesn't, you know, I know Denver's going to win the West, but since I have no idea who's getting anywhere in the Western Conference, like, I can't tell you whether there's a big difference between three, four, or five. In the East, if you're the one seed and you don't have to beat both the other two, and you get home court, you know, just keep in mind last year when Milwaukee played Boston, which was really the series that decided the East. Game seven was in Boston. That was huge. Now, I know that game seven in Miami, Boston, you know, that went to seven. It was in Miami. Boston won. I was at all those games. Trust me, I know. But that the East last year was decided by Boston, Milwaukee, and it was decided because game seven was in Boston. So, number one, having home court in the one versus two situation is huge, and then avoiding the side of the bracket where you have to beat both teams is huge. I mean, the thing is that if you're in the Western Conference, if you're a Grizzlies fan, you may only have to beat one of the three best, I shouldn't say maybe, you would only have to beat one of the three best teams in the league to win the title. Okay? I can't tell you when that's ever been the case. It's been decades since that's been the case for a Western Conference team. Now, if Golden State is at full power, we can maybe have a – we can rediscuss who the top three teams are. But if you're the number two or number three seed in the East, you might have to beat three awesome teams to win the title. That's a massive, massive difference.
Yep.
So I look at Milwaukee and I see that there's some ungodly figure like 22-3 since the new year. And I say, well, look at what they're earning themselves. They're earning themselves a really big advantage when it comes to the Eastern Conference. So if it's Milwaukee number one, first off, I really like the way they play. I like their depth. And I think Giannis is the best player in the league. And if they can get the one seed and stay healthy, this is all predicated on all these teams staying healthy. I think whoever gets the one seed is going to be in great shape, and I think that's going to be Milwaukee.
Hey, Brian, great stuff as always,
Thank you so much, man. Appreciate the time.
Have a good day.
Yep, he is Brian Windhorst, covers NBA for ESPN. We were talking about that a little bit yesterday with Trista Crick, right? You just sort of go down the list, and it's quite a few spots before you get to a team from the West. Now, anything can happen in the playoffs, but it does feel like the strength of the league is balanced towards the Eastern Conference. We shall see. Come back, Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
You don't need a pot of gold to strike it rich this March. Instead, you can win money on your tournament wagers with Superbook Sports. Superbook features the best team of odds makers in the business, so you know and you can trust they're the safe bet when it comes to sports gambling. You have a direct line to their experienced staff behind the counter in Las Vegas. They also have one of the most extensive betting menus around, so whatever you want to wager on, if you want to wager on the future, if you want to wager on straights, if you want to put together a parlay, it is there for you at Superbook. Download the Superbook app and start winning today. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. You know, John Morant makes his return tonight. We've talked a lot about that. One thing around in college basketball that seems to be the story is Ed Cooley leaving for Georgetown and how upset it is making people. I guess because he's from Providence, it's where he was born and raised, and I had a Providence guy text me this morning. He was very angry, and he was saying this loyalty. What if Penny left after 12 years? I said, bro, if Penny left after 12 years and he had one Sweet 16, I think people would be like, okay, we get it. Now, there is no equivalent. There's no job that Penny would leave for in college, right?
Yeah, but if you're going same thing,
Grizzlies.
It'd be Penny staying in your conference too, you know, right?
If he but there's no job that he would take in the league that he would leave Memphis for. He's not going to take.
But I'm saying that's what they face.
Yeah, no, it is.
He's going to see them. They're going to have to see him.
It is. You know,
one of their own.
But, you know, I think Penny's a little different, though, because Penny is not your average college basketball coach.
Of course not. No.
You know, Ed Cooley is a professional basketball coach or a college basketball coach, but that's what he's always been. Yes, he happens to be from Providence, but the name of the game in college basketball coaching, if you're just the average college basketball coach, is you take the next job, get you a raise, and you get more prestige. That's right. The way it works. Just so happened that the right job didn't come along for Ed Cooley, or he didn't get interviews for those jobs in years past. It did this time. He got a raise. He got a job with much more prestige that's going to be able to get better players. I mean, I'm not from Providence, but I don't have a problem with this dude taking the Providence job.
Yeah. It's not the same as Penny.
No. And I think Penny's one of one.
Again, that's part of what makes Penny the man for the job.
Right.
The fact that he's not searching for the
exactly
the next one. I suppose Ed might have said that early in his career, though.
Well, yeah.
When you're home like that.
People say things all the time.
See, I don't think Penny would – he's not searching for another job in college basketball.
People got mad at Cal when he took Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
You know, because they felt like, oh, how can you do this? You said this is where you want to be.
You know, and
but it's still the nature of it. I mean, Fairleigh Dickinson coach going up.
Right,
like, that's what you do. That's what you strive to. You strive to get the best job you can get.
It absolutely is.
And Penny is an outlier.
I don't fault Ed for taking the job. I don't. I think it's, you know, go back, try to make Georgetown relevant, get the raise, get the higher profile job, you know, improve your situation financially and, you know, improve your standing, I mean, potentially. So I just don't I get the outrage, I guess, from Providence fans who feel like, how could you do this to us?
Yeah.
But this dude had topped out at Providence. Like, what that job is what he was doing, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I think
it's like you trying to keep Deion at Jackson State, baby.
I think it's important to challenge yourself professionally, right? I think it's very important to find things like you, for example. You're doing grind season now. You know, you're pushing yourself to do things that you previously had not done. Because you get a little, I'm talking about you specifically, you got a little bit complacent because it just became a little too easy, mm-hmm. right? So you had to branch out and push yourself.
Right.
So I think it's important to, as a professional, hey, let's try to move up the ladder. Let's not just accept comfort.
Right.
Let's make ourselves uncomfortable and strive for greater. That's what Ed Cooley's doing. And that's what you're doing with grind season.
You too with Field of 68.
No. We're going to focus on you for now.
That's how you like it.
We're going to focus on you. Hey.
Games.
That's it. That's the show today, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Madison Griggs.
Thank you to Madison Griggs. Thank you to Mark Giannotto. Thank you to Brian Windhorst. A diverse group of guests, as you can always expect here on this show. It is one of our proud moments and our finest moments. One of the things we strive to do.
Keep challenging yourself.
Bring you that diversity.
Like Cooley and John.
Giannotto and Jeffrey are up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
All right, football fans. The NFL Draft is almost here. And the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.